Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitator and coach Betsy McLaughlin as she delves into different areas of your life to get unstuck and create the life that is truly possible for you. Betsy has changed her life by utilizing the tools and techniques she is sharing with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Hi, everybody. Welcome, welcome to Imperfect Brilliant. My name is Betsy McLaughlin, and I am your host on this radio show, Home Times Radio. And today's show, I love this topic. And if you guys listen to me at all, you know that I love talking about children and the joy of children. And today's topic is actually being an empowered child. And, you know, so we're going to be talking all about how do you empower children and contribute to their joy in the world. And there's, to me, there's nothing as genuine as the joy and the laughter of a child, and that ease and the fun and the enthusiasm that kids have for life and living. Oh, just so amazing. And it always, as soon as I even think about it, I go to this happy space. And so what if we could empower our kids, you know, whether they're our own children or children in our lives, what if we can empower them to have that, to be that, no matter what they are around in the world? And there's a lot of negativity and a lot of people who are, you know, who are wrong or feel like they've got to fit into certain molds. So that's kind of going to be our topic today. And my guest today is Cetus. And you're going to have to tell me how to pronounce your last name so I don't totally mutilate it. So I'm going to stop talking for a minute so you can tell us how you say your last name.
It's Rivas Verdejo.
Thank you. It's like, okay.
Rivas Verdejo.
Oh, that's pretty good. And we're going to.
Yeah, you did well.
Thank you. We're going to discuss, you know, like, you've got a lot of really cool background in pediatric services as a speech language pathologist and a feeding therapist, learning behavioral specialist, and you've, you know, worked a lot with children and individuals as well as families. And I met Cetus through Access Consciousness. She is also a certified facilitator, and that's how I met her. And I'm really curious as to what you know from your background with language and your different modalities and your, you know, as a speech pathologist and everything, and how you incorporate everything you know to contribute to the children that you work with. So welcome to the show, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I love talking about kids, too, and I love talking about any tools that will work to empower them to be more joyful, to have what's true for them. And, yes, Access Consciousness tools are a great addition to any kind of evidence-based tool that you're already using. So I love adding in the energetic tools as well, and I find more and more that families are asking for this, and they literally are asking for it verbally, and they're open to it more and more. When I first was playing around with Access Consciousness tools, I kind of kept it as a separate little thing, and then I would be working with a child in the home, and the parents would be like, I love the progress you're making. Is there anything else I could potentially do? And if my awareness said that they would be open to something kind of.
So true. So tell us a little bit about what you do.
Gosh, so many things. So I see children online for speech and language and learning behavior services. I have licensures in Colorado, Illinois, and Georgia so far. Kind of curious.
Yeah.
As well.
And you've got, you know, you've got the technology where you can actually do that in a school environment, and you don't have to physically be in front of them, which is just an amazing thing that so many schools are now doing that.
I mean, they basically had to. As soon as telepractice started showing up in many different disciplines, from social work and counseling to speech and language, even some occupational therapists are doing telepractice now. It's really taken off because there are so many places that are having these services that they were asking for and looking for, and there was nobody to provide them.
Wow.
I remember when I was working in the Chicago Public Schools, huge school district, lots of providers, and there would still every year be about 15 to 17 schools that were getting no services at all.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about, like, what you're kind of seeing. Do you do all ages of children?
Yes. So from birth, I used to do early intervention, which is birth to 3 years old, which is a special certification, all the way through death. And a lot of times when you're working, the younger the child, the more you're working with the parents, because you want to empower the parents and whoever is the caregiver or guardian to know how to use these tools throughout the whole day, throughout the week. They're going to spend a lot more time with their parents, their caregivers, their teachers than with you. So instead of just doing, oh, half an hour, an hour with you once a week, it's going to be a lot more efficacious if you actually empower the people who are with them all the time to have these tools. And on top of that, they're going to be the people that are with them their entire lives. So you start planting the seeds early, and then they can start advocating for their child throughout their whole life. They know what questions to ask. They know what things to be aware of, questions to ask for themselves and their own awareness, but also on behalf of their child and whoever is going to be interacting with their child.
It's such an important point, and I'm so glad you brought that into the conversation, where it is really the entire family. You know, so you may get an initial contact because somebody has decided somebody requires, you know, special services or something like that. But it's, I was caring for my mother's puppy while she was in the hospital, and the puppy was not trained yet. And so I reached out to, you know, some trainers, and they said, well, you know, it's not just puppy training, it's also training the people in the house. And, you know, so
Absolutely. It's
kind of the same thing, you know, it's not just, well, the puppy is still not completely housebroken. It's like, all right, what are you guys doing? And so I love that, you know, it's definitely the same thing. It's like looking at the entire picture, and then what is everybody, you know, what is everybody's roles, and what can they be asking, and what could they be choosing and changing? Besides where the initial contact that you may have, you know, been made for what somebody has decided a problem is that requires your specialty.
Yeah, absolutely. The other part, too, is that even if someone's talking with me and they have an older student, an older child, be it, you know, I had someone who was calling me and their child is 16, but they wanted a consult because they wanted guidance for what to do in these special education meetings called IEP meetings, which are individualized education plan meetings. Because a lot of times these parents are being bombarded by jargon, by like points of views from like 8 different professionals. It's just a lot of information, and there's not necessarily somebody to mediate for them or to advocate for them as a parent and their child. They're kind of just trying to get things done to go to the next meeting. So the parents will call me to say, what kind of questions did I ask? Like, I guide them through and orient them as to what they can look at and what questions mean? So they feel more like confidence to speak what's true for them and their child. Because sometimes these parents, they get railroaded in these meetings. And it's not always because the professionals mean to railroad them. They just don't have a lot of time. They're, you know, they're go, go, go. I was there. I was in these meetings where I'd go, like, you know, one meeting after the other all day. And you're just trying to knock it out so that you get to the end of the school year and you have all the meetings completed that you have to complete. But no matter where the child is in their lifespan, there are still tools that can help the parent and the child know what's true for each individual in the family and the family as a whole. And that's one of the things that when I was in Chicago Public Schools, it got me to move more toward early intervention, is because when you're working in the schools, you don't have that same engagement and interaction with the parents. And I knew that if I got to the parents and I got to the caregivers, it would be a lot more effective. And so I was like, let me go to early intervention, because with early intervention, I'm seeing the kids at home or in their daycares, and I'm interacting with adults who are with them all the time. So instead of doing, let's say, 48 hours in a year, if I'm seeing them once a week, it's 52,000 hours plus in a year of this, of language enrichment, of empowering tools, of the child actually having someone stimulating them in this way and encouraging them. So I always tell the parents, I have some special training. Sure, I have these ideas, but you're way more powerful and you're way more important in the role of your child than me. So let's work together so that you feel like you got this. And when I leave, you still know you can keep the show running. You can keep it, the wheels turning, so that you can make progress faster.
Oh, my gosh. And that is one of the things that I just love about, like, empowering those, you know, empowering everybody to know that they actually have the questions, they have the tools, and you, yes, you might be guiding them. And, you know, it's like they know way more than, you know, a lot of times they even realize they know. And there are so many, right? And there's so many times in the world, you know, professional world or the medical world, where we defer so much to the people who, you know, have all the credentials up on the walls. And I remember, you know, even as a, when my son was young, he was, I think, 10 months old, and he got pneumonia, and I knew he was really sick, and I took him to the doctors, and they sent me home telling me I was a hysterical new mother. And, you know, 2 days later, I was back with pneumonia, and it's like, I knew, and at the time, I deferred to, well, he must be right, he's the doctor, and I'll just have to calm down a little bit, you know, and then sure enough, he just got sicker and sicker. So it's like, you know, how many times have we all deferred to someone else when we actually knew what, you know, like we knew something. So I love that you brought, you're empowering people to be like, hey, you know, you actually do have the knowledge, you have these tools, and, you know, to empower people is such a gift, such a gift.
The other part that you brought up that I love is, you know, in those situations where you're like, oh, wow, I knew, and I let this doctor tell me something different, it's really easy to start judging yourself and blaming yourself in those situations. Yes. And that's another thing that I navigate a lot with the parents I work with and the teachers I work with, is this kind of retroactive judgment, this continuous judgment of the things in the past that they chose, or they're looking to who's to blame for their child having a delay, their child having this disability, their child having fill in the blank. And instead, I reroute and redirect them to actually look at what's right about them now and what's possible now, because we can't do anything about what they did and chose before. But by when they do something different now, it actually starts having that rippling out effect where we can undo some of the things, and we can actually still move forward, because the key is to keep moving forward. And so it's like, do you think by focusing on what happened before you're moving forward, or are you still stuck back there? And the parents are often like, yeah, I'm really stuck back there. And I was like, would you like to stay back there, or would you like to actually look at possible for you and your child and your family now? And just those simple questions like that in practice, you know, you're going to need reminders because it's because we're pretty entrained as a society to judge ourselves and judge parenting and think that there's a certain way to do it and all of that. But what if something else is actually possible? You know?
Yeah.
So actually inviting parents to get out of judgment of themselves is huge.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's our time for our first break, and please stay with us where we'll get some more amazing conversation about how we can empower our children as well as ourselves and all family members for ease with parenting and more. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for listening to Imperfect Brilliance. I am Betsy McLaughlin. Having such an amazing conversation today with Dulce Rivas Verdejo. How'd I do with your pronunciation?
Perfect. You did not need speech therapy.
And so, Cirrus, I love that you infuse energetic modalities into your pediatric services as a speech language pathologist, as part of what you contribute to the world. And one of the things that was pinging me to be sure that we mention is that, you know, we talk a lot about using the tools and questions and how that contributes to people. But if somebody's listening to us for the first time, they may not know what we are talking about. So can you give people a little bit more information when we're talking about, you know, the questions and the tools that we work with so much?
Yeah. So first off, I give parents practice and start guiding them to ask questions for awareness and not for, oh, I have this one answer or the doctor told me this one idea, you know, this other therapist here gave me this one strategy I can use. It's to continually be like, what else? What else? What else is here? What else am I aware of? What else is my child aware of? And keeping that door open to more awareness instead of being like, okay, well, this is one fix. I'm done. We're good, right? And that's really beneficial, not just for interventions, but for life. And so we're giving the parents tools that they already are probably using, but for them to acknowledge that they're using. and doing, and then for them to start consciously using them and then giving them and modeling it for their child can start using tools like asking a question themselves to themselves silently or out loud for awareness. And so some of the questions that I really love asking that are really easy to introduce for at whatever age is out loud to, as a parent to myself, as an educator, as a therapist, hey, what else is possible here? What am I aware of? What do I know is going to work? What is actually true for me and my family? What's actually true for my child? What's going to work for my child? It really invites us to know what we know, like you mentioned earlier, Betsy. And it also invites us, when you're asking these questions, especially when you're asking with no point of view, when you're not really seeking that right or wrong answer, that good or bad result, that good or bad intervention or strategy, and you're just like, let's just see. Some really out-of-the-box kind of wacky stuff can show up. Like one time I asked, oh, gosh, this kiddo is tantruming right now. All the things that we would usually do to calm him down and soothe isn't working. What else is possible here? I got to start changing my voice and do different voices. And all of a sudden, I was, like, making my voice really high-pitched like this. Oh, my goodness. Like, and oh, we're going to play with the yellow truck now. And then all of a sudden, getting really deep down. And, okay, we're going to go over here, and we're going to bang the truck up and down. And the kid was just, his eyes opened up really big, and he stopped screaming, and he stopped kicking, and he was just like, this crazy lady here, what is going on? And then as soon as he wasn't in that rage crazy space, I was actually had an opening to shift and do something else and actually invite him to have some other choice and options as to what we could play with. But until I got him calmer and until I asked the question with for awareness and was willing to receive whatever popped into my head,
yes,
I wasn't going to know exactly what else I could do because I used every other tool and strategy that I had thought of up until then. And none of it was working. And how many times is that the case for us with kids where it's like, nothing I'm doing is working?
Yeah. You know, children can challenge you to be creative sometimes. And, you know, I know that for me, you know, I'm definitely the most joy-filled me when I allow myself to be creative. And I remember my son had a phase going in his life where he was afraid of the dark and he didn't want, you know, like when it's time to go to bed and he thought there were things under his bed. And so I got, and he thought they were, and he was calling them monsters. And I got some spray. Oh, you know, stuff like that you can use just to make things smell good. And I got some of that and I made a little wrapper and I called it and I drew, you know, like, and I had him draw monsters on it and we wrapped it around the spray and we sprayed the room every night. And that, like, you know, so I was that's the willingness to just be creative and think completely outside the box. And, you know, where that inspiration came from, you know, it just showed up and it was like, oh, and he would, Mommy, can you get the monster spray? And we would just, and then it became like this game. And then he was able to sleep and I could turn the lights off. And, you know, it was, and I think back on that now and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was actually quite a moment of brilliance on my part.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, to not have to have a screaming child who wouldn't go to bed and who refused to turn the lights off and all these things. And it was that willingness to do something different because the normal things weren't working. We had looked under the bed. We had, you know, like all these other things. And so I love that, you know, you're that space too of, hey, what else, truly, what else is possible? What could we do here that might really, and you would think like doing a different voice for a child who's having a tantrum, that's really going to work. And it, you know, and it did. So how cool was that?
And that's that particular child on that day in that moment. On a different
right.
day, that might not be what works. And
exactly.
So that's what the whole difference about it's not like a one-time fix answer. It's like really continuing to be in the question and asking for awareness as to what's going to work in any given moment with any given situation or person. What I loved about your example with the spray, which I'm going to have to remember that one. That's brilliant. I love it.
Thank you.
is that you are willing to actually look at his perspective.
Yeah.
Like actually see the world and the situation from his eyes. That's one of the other things I ask parents and educators to do. It's like, okay, well, what's his take on this? How does this situation, this place, this scenario look like through his eyes? A lot of us, when we were kids, we had certain agendas and itineraries and schedules and curriculums impelled upon us. And not many of us were raised and were educated by people who are actually looking at our perspective. And so then we start mimicking that. And I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just we're doing the best we can, right? This is what we were taught. This is how we were raised. This is what we've seen and considered. And so if some of the people listening to this might already be doing this. And if you are, please acknowledge how cool it is that you're able to go and look and consider at someone else's perspective and maybe choose to do that even more consciously. Like, I'm going to consciously see, hey, what is this person's point of view about this? Like, I had a kiddo where they were going up to a house because their parent were looking for a new house to buy. And so it was him and his brother, and they were looking at houses with the mom, like house hunting, you know, the open house shows. And before they even got to the door, he's screaming at the door. He will not get in the house.
Wow.
And the mom, thank goodness, is one of my good friends, asked a question of her awareness. She was like, what's really here? What's he aware of? And she was like, this is not a house for us. This is not a house for our family. Got it. We don't even need to see it. Let's not even force ourselves to go through the motions. And as soon as she acknowledged, you got it, this is not for us, he calmed down. We went. They got in the car. They went to the next place. But she was willing to see it from his perspective and actually acknowledge what's right about his behavior. What is his behavior telling us? Instead of being like, nope, you got to suck it up, kid. You got to go here. We're going to do this. And sometimes there is those moments where they just got to do it. But in that situation, it was that he was trying to communicate something that he had no words for.
So true.
And that's for a lot of kids, even infants.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And even infants, they don't have the words yet, a lot of us, but they're constantly communicating different things to us energetically and nonverbally. And if we ask the questions, we can actually have the awareness as to what they require.
Well, that's so true. And energy is our first language. And I had a wonderful conversation with Danielle Carter a few months ago, and you guys can find it in the archives. And it's all about the energy of the language of energy, and how that is our first language. And that's a perfect example. You know, before a child can say its first word, you know what the child is communicating. You know, if you're willing to tap into that energy, and you know, it's really that willingness to communicate the way they communicate and not necessarily the way that we communicate. And I'm sure that's a lot of what you teach people and talk about in your practice.
Yeah, especially because with speech and language, if they come to me for feeding or learning behavior, it's not necessarily as a parent, but when I'm going in and they're like, hey, make my kid talk. And I'm like, hi, let's see what you already know about what your kid's communicating to you first. Let's start there. Yeah. What do you already know that he's saying? How often are you already anticipating his needs or her needs, and you're not acknowledging that? And they're like, oh, oh, yeah. Because they're stuck in the wrongness of them as a parent. My kid isn't talking. I must be doing something wrong. I must not know something about the parent. I said, well, let's flip it. What do you know? It's like, oh, I know when they need a diaper changed. I know when they're hungry. I know when they're tired. I know when they need it. They don't like somebody. I know when they like somebody. Like, all these different things, and they're not using their words, but you know, right? And they're like, mm-hmm. Oh, wow, I do. Oh, wow, I know that, and I know that, and I know that. And that starts opening the door. As soon as they start acknowledging where they know, it makes a lot easier for you to have even more awareness show up.
Yes. And, you know, there's so many times that we do tend to focus on, you know, what we are doing wrong as a parent or what we don't know. And so for you to be showing them, hey, actually, you know a lot more than you've ever acknowledged, given yourself credit for. And then, you know, so that is that space of empowering them. And so in that space of empowering parents and children, what do you find starts occurring?
Oh, gosh. One of the things that I notice is, one, the parents are less stressed out. As soon as they judge themselves less or just plain stop judging themselves and they start acknowledging how great they are, and not from a place of like, oh, I'm better than everyone or, you know, arrogance necessarily, but just from an acknowledgement of what's true and, oh, this is what works for me and my family. This is what I know is going to work. They have a more peace and calm. And when you have more peace and calm, then you can have the clarity to see more and more and more of what's true and what's possible. You get to enjoy your kids instead of stressing about them so much. They get to enjoy mm-hmm. you as a parent more. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I see is one of my parents, we were playing, we were doing this activity, and we're doing some language enrichment, and she started laughing and giggling, and she's like, this is one of the first times since my child was born that I feel like I can actually just be happy wow. about it. I'm not worrying about surgery and therapy. I'm not, wow. I'm just like, let me be here with my child. Let me be present with them. And the joy of having this child in my life instead of the worry and the concern. And that, I mean, even just saying it right now, that brings tears to my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because how many totally. Of us are just go, 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 worry, 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 and we don't actually get to be present with the people we love and get to receive all of them. We know that they're a gift. We know that they're a blessing. And yet, are we actually really present to receive all that is possible with that gift and blessing that they are to our life? And so when that wow. parent said that, I was like, oh, more of that, please. I'd in the world.
Holy
yeah.
way
and some
more
other things
of that.
Right? Let's bring it in. Let's bring it in. Another thing that I see is faster progress. So as soon as I wasn't ready, I will acknowledge I was very effective as a therapist. And as soon as I started acknowledging that I could actually add in these energetic tools in a more conscious way, I was having to do before maybe annual meetings or every 3-year meetings for kiddos. And I realized within a year, I hadn't gotten to a year meeting because the kids were getting discharged at before the 6 months, like faster
wow.
and faster and faster, which means that what I mean by that is that they were developmentally appropriate or they had caught up before the year. Well, before they would catch up, but it was a year or two. Especially when it was the early intervention kiddos, or they would need to be a substantial reduction in services within 6 months while people were like, oh, yep, you're going to need to see them twice a week for the rest of their lives. And I'm like, I'm not so sure about that. Let's see what else is possible here.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm having to change my schedule all the time because these kids are going in and out revolving door so much faster.
That's amazing.
And I wish I could say it was me, but a lot of it was these parents got on board and was like, yes, I'm doing this. I'm working and using these tools even when you're not there. And the kids made faster progress because it was a team effort instead of me being like, oh, I'm the big person. I'm the big dog here. Listen to me. Only when the 1 hour a week is when we're going to work on this stuff. That's not effective.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And that's that whole gift of, you know, acknowledging you absolutely are a huge catalyst for them. And they're not sitting and waiting for that once a week appointment. They're taking action, you know, every moment of every day. And so then to see those kind of accelerated results, like, wow, talk about that speaking for itself. That speaks volumes. Way more than anything that you could, you know, try to put into some big study, you know?
And the other part, too, with that is, you know, for a lot of parents, they work a lot and they're really busy. So there's strategies and questions for that as well.
Awesome. Well, stay tuned for those strategies and questions, and thank you so much, you guys, for listening. We'll be back.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. This cat makes me make art. He's always motivating me to draw pictures of him. He just is motivating artistically. He's my best friend, but a lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat, YouTube star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
You guys, thank you so much for tuning into Imperfect Brilliant. I'm so grateful for you, and thank you so much for your messages, your emails, your comments, your questions that you guys are always welcome to send us, and you're of course always welcome to call in during a show as well and ask any questions that you might have. And you can find, you can email me at accessbetsy@gmail.com if you have any show ideas or suggestions. I always, a lot of the shows are from ideas or suggestions that people write into me. So please always feel free to reach out. And to let you know too that you can find all of the archives from the shows at ohmtimesradio.com, and you can also find it on iTunes. So there's lots of different ways to get the replays. You can download them, listen to them on your phone. I have a Facebook page, Betsy McLaughlin, as well as an Imperfect Brilliance Facebook page. My website is creatingyumminess.com. And I'm always offering different online classes, and I also facilitate and will travel anywhere in the world to facilitate classes, all kinds of different classes, specialty classes, et cetera. So please feel free to reach out to me, and I'm happy to have conversation with you on that. And then, Sirius, if you could please tell everybody how they can find you.
My website is empoweringlightlanguage.com, and my email is empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook. There's an Empowering Light Language Facebook page. I also have a vodcast that's called Choosing a Different Future, and you can check it out at choosingadifferentfuture.com. There's some episodes there. I'm hoping to have Betsy on there one of these days. She'll
I'd
let me.
I'd love to. Absolutely.
And, yeah, and I also travel the world facilitating classes, and you can reach me for any consultations at the U.S. number 1-847-567-4978. Please feel free to email Betsy or me directly with any questions about anything we're talking about during the show if you listen to it later on and not live. I would love it if people called in with questions. That would be really exciting.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so – I'm so enjoying this conversation today. And, again, thank you so much for joining us. And as we were going to break, you started talking about being a busy parent. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about how you had one parent who – brought you to tears saying it was one of the first times that they had actually played with their child and really connected and been present. And so I think you had some other things that you wanted to say around that as we were going to break, if you remember.
Yeah. Yes. Even those couple minutes of presence, of true receiving and giving with your child and that having that joy with them is so powerful. And a lot of parents often will tell me that they feel really bad that they can't have more of those moments. It's not that they don't value them. It's not that they don't get that would be lovely, but some of their other priorities, like making sure that there is a roof over their heads, making sure that there's food on the table. Maybe there are other kids that are pulling for their attention as well. I had a family where there was four kids and at least three of them had IEPs and had special abilities and had different therapists and appointments. I was that child. I'm the oldest of three, and my sister has spina bifida, so we were in physical therapy, occupational therapy, and then she had stuttering, and so we had speech therapy for her. And my brother had diaphragmatic hernia, and he's hard of hearing in both ears. And so we had speech therapy for him, tons of doctor's appointments. And so my parents, both educators, both teachers, often felt very guilty and felt like they were neglecting me. And so how do you navigate that as a parent when you have the go, when you have all these appointments and you'd like to also, maybe take care of yourself, have a glass of wine, watch a movie, date your partner, you know, like, how do you do all of that within the scope of the whole family and all the things that are going on? And maybe it's just because I'm an organizational fiend. Like, I have so many calendars. I color code and highlight everything. I actually create visuals for the parents, and I'll put calendars up, be it the laminated ones on the refrigerator or the wall, or, you know, like a year to date, if it's a paper one that you rip, whatever is going to work with the family. Some of the parents are very technologically savvy, and so they love their Google calendars or their phone calendars, whatever works. But it's like, actually, let's put it in. If you have all these doctor's appointments and therapy appointments, if you have work and things like that, I know you know how to go to an appointment. So what if you set an appointment for family time? Or what if you set an appointment for each child? So each of them could have their 5 to 15 minutes depending on what's available. Is each family and each parent, if it's a single parent, if it's two parents, five parents, whatever it is in the house, there's different availability, and each month might be different life circumstances. So they put it in and set those little alarms on your phone. And it could be a conversation, a video chat from work during a break. I've had parents do that where they're at work and they do a video chat with their kids, but it's only one and that's their special time. And then the next night, it's a video chat with another one. Or when they're
that's
at home, it's like,
idea.
What's the special activity? Yeah, because sometimes it's not just home time. Like, they're literally driving to and from work. That's their life. And they barely are seeing their kids. It might be the nanny or the babysitter or the daycare provider that's seeing their kids more. that's okay. You're doing what you got to do to meet the needs of your kids. Instead of making yourself wrong, it's like, what is actually going to work? And those little bits, those little gems, the kids don't have any sense of time. They don't say, oh, I need to have 30 minutes an hour. They love that 5 minutes when you're totally present with them for 5 minutes. It feels like an eternity for them. They're like, oh, my God, I got to talk to mom for 5 minutes. Ah! Oh, my goodness.
So
we as adults, we'll put the time on it, and we make the time significant. But the kids, they're like, oh, yay, thank you, mommy. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Bye. You know, they love it. It doesn't have to be this whole long, prolonged time.
Yeah.
And you don't have to wait for when you have this long period of time. 5 minutes here, 15 minutes there. And then when you do have a space where maybe you can take a day off from work, cool, you can schedule it in then. You can do that, like, you know, going to the zoo, going to the park, whatever. But I have parents, maybe because I was working with a lot of at-risk and underprivileged and poor neighborhoods or rural places, where the parents had 2-3 jobs. There wasn't vacations. There wasn't family vacations. They were having a hard time making sure there was milk in the fridge, you know. So there was a lot of guilt. Okay, I know I need to do this, but I want to be with my kids too. In the day that we live in, with the phones that we have, we can do that. Step out with your smoke break, your fresh air break at work. You're going a little corner, have a quick chat, and then go, and then you can go back to work. And also, I find that when the parents have implemented these little breaks, it's a break for them too.
Yes.
From the judgment, but also, as you mentioned earlier, you get to have the joy of your kids, so it lights you up. It almost gives you another second wind, an espresso shot to your day. And you're like, all right, yeah, I can do this.
And what I love, thank you so much, you know, and there's really some pragmatic suggestions that have been in this conversation today, and something that anybody listening could take, you know, and even if you don't have children, like, you know, who could you take 5 minutes and really be completely present with in your life? You know, like, because we live in such a busy time, and many of us have a lot of different, you know, even more than one job or a lot of different responsibilities. And we tend to function from do, go, you know, and with the advent of the amazingness of the technology, it can also, you know, where we are really connected to our phones pretty much from the time we wake up till the time we go to sleep. You know, what if we, you know, put our phone down and we were actually, you know, at the dinner, you know, like whether you're at a dinner table or you're at, you know, going for a walk or something where you're disconnecting from that and being completely present with the people in your life, you know, and even if it's just for, like you said, yeah, maybe you've got this big job deadline of something, but could you take 5 minutes or 10 minutes in your day and connect with somebody that might not be feeling so connected with you right now? And I think that's such a great reminder for all of us.
I use it for me. I mean, if I live off of all these little, like, calendar reminders and the phone ringing and, like, the alarm set and, like, okay, oh, at this, and I even put in the little memo of the alarm, hey, breathe. Hey, take a moment. Go and watch a little quick video to make you laugh right now, or, you know, this little 5-minute YouTube video or something. Oh, go and call someone that you know will make you smile. Like, whatever little things that will keep you going and flowing. Because the world is kind of crazy right now. And so even more, us as adults and these children that we love and care for require something different. Which, you know, could be choosing happy.
And it's so true. And choosing happy. And, you know, we do have a few minutes left. So let's dive into that a little bit of choosing happy and choosing joy. And what do you counsel people with around that?
Well, first I asked them, when was the last time they felt really happy, or what brings you joy? A lot of people don't know what makes them happy or brings them joy. I had a moment, I was just talking to a friend about this, where I was driving around Puerto Rico, where I was born, and I was going in between different radio spots that I was doing to promote some classes there. And the person that was driving me around, I just turned to him, not really thinking about it. I was like, hey, so what's fun for you? What lights you up? What brings you joy? I did not realize this was going to rock this man's world so much. For him, everything that he kept listing related to helping someone, fixing a situation, doing something for someone else. And I was like, well, if there was no one around and there was no one to help or fix or save, what would bring you joy? And he could not think of anything. And for a lot of the parents that I work with, a lot of the educators, we're so all about being of service and doing for the kids, doing for the school, doing for our partners, that it's like, well, what brings you joy? And what if you start with that and then add your kids to it instead of it being about doing it for the kids or not even including you in the equation of your family? And so when you have those five-minute breaks, it's like, what would you set an alarm for to do for those 5 to 15 minutes? For me, it would be going for a walk in the forest or by water, going swimming, maybe doing some yoga, reading a book that's enjoyable, watching one of those funny YouTube videos. I can think about 100 different things. It wasn't always the case for me to think of, be able to think of 100. At my lowest point, I could maybe think of maybe one.
You know?
And so it's been a process, but it started from me being like prioritizing joy in my life and be like, no, I'm going to choose happy. So what actually makes me happy? And then adding it on and adding on more and then choosing that more and more, the things that make me happy. And then the people who are actually going to encourage that and support that instead of the people that kind of distract me from that.
Yeah. And, you know, I know I find for sure when I'm happy and I'm choosing that space, it really attracts more of the same. And it's like a happy, you know, it's like a happiness ripple effect around, right? And that brings me so much joy. And I love contributing joy and bringing joy to my own world as well as others. And I know you do too.
Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah. And that's it. So with parents and stuff, it's like, well, what if we actually looked at what brought us joy and how much more of an invitation to our kids would we be if we chose what lit us up and what brings us joy, what makes us happy? Like, how much happier would the kids be? I can't tell you how many kids I know when they see their parents crying and stressed and upset, even when the parents aren't actually like tears coming down their face, but they're just like, they can sense it. They know when we're sad, when we're worried, when we're anxious. They want us to be happy. So they start doing things to get our attention or to shake things up in our world sometimes so that we can actually choose happy. And then when they see us being happier, they're like, oh, that's a possibility. That's something I can choose. Wow. And then you see kids that have more smiles that are actually going to make that a priority for themselves. But if we don't model that that's a priority and if that's something that can be of value, well, where would the kids see that? Out in the world? I'm not so sure. It starts with us in the family.
Oh, my gosh. That is so true. It really does start with us. And, you know, what example can we be? And, you know, choosing happiness, choosing joy, choosing, you know, ease, and how that really does impact every area of your life is truly amazing. And, you know, I have spoken on many times on my show about where I used to be very, very, very depressed and sad and angry and bitter. And that just gets worse and worse and worse over time. And to now be in the place where, no, I'm choosing joy, I'm choosing happy, and I no longer function from that space. What a difference. What a difference in life. So I can't believe it's already time, the end of the show. Thank you so much for being with us today. I'm so grateful for the conversation. And I hope you'll come back sometime.
Thank you. I would would love it. Anytime. Just let me know.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You guys, feel free to reach out if you have any more questions for wonderful Thetis. Thank you so much for listening to Imperfect Brilliance, and we'll see you next week. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks again, Thetis.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.